Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
In that book, that's a 1970s book, that one. And so there's two words that we use, Christians use. One's the Trinity, and the other one's rapture. And neither word you'll find in the scriptures, but the idea you will find. You know, I had a chat with some JWs about a week ago in St. Albans, and we had a long talk. And in the end, they were quite captivated with me, I have to say. They gave me the opportunity to share with them, and I didn't offend them, and I told them from the outset, I learned a new trick the other day. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't try and lord it over them. That's what they don't like. When you put it across that you know something better than what they know, they just put the barriers up. And from the outset, I think we've learned these things over the years. From the outset, I said to them, they knocked on the door, and I'm working at this very, very rich house, like 1.8 million house, and they thought it was my home. No, they did. I was on the doorstep, they knocked on the, in fact, they did. The bell is one of them old-fashioned bells. You grab a handle and you pull it down like that, you know? It goes ring, 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 ring. And maybe they thought I owned the house. And I took a different approach. A long time since I talked to a JW. And I came out and I knew who they were. I said, I know who you are. But I said, please, please, don't be offended by me. Right? I took a real humble approach. And they just relaxed. And they didn't put the barriers up. I said, I'm going to tell you now, once you know what I'm going to say, you'll put the barriers up and you won't want anything to do with me. Well, they didn't want to upset me either. Do you know, I thought this is a great way to approach them, but you have to be careful because they do not go around the houses with different doctrines. And last week, Jan, you said to me, it's okay to go to any church, you know. I disagree, because not all churches believe the same things. And you could get caught up with lies, with the scripture. And there's a word we call it, the Bible, where the word of God is taken out of context. It's a word we use. And you think I'm full of jargon, that this is a word we use, taken out of context. And some of the believers here understand what I'm saying. Is that not right? You see, they know what I'm talking about.
And then you
amplify that just one verse without taking into consideration that whole context. Yeah, see? She's right. Nika is right. They focus on one word out of a whole sentence and they magnify on that. So anyway, I'm just throwing that in for good measure. I don't know why. But anyway, the title of this message we're using, they don't believe in the Trinity, that's it. They think that we're off our heads because we don't believe in the Trinity. And I said, it's in the scriptures. The idea of the Trinity, but they won't have it. But we don't want to argue. We don't want to have a fight. Because it's not good to do that, is it?
No,
one's had a fight with a Jehovah's Witness, have they, Dominic? Even, you don't know. Really?
It wasn't us, it was them.
Oh, did Did you hear that? It wasn't us, it was them. If we keep talking to Don, we might find out about a punch up here.
Well, no, it wasn't a punch up. He was annoyed, I think, because we were just discussing stuff on the Bible and he was kind of annoyed.
Okay. There was one Jehovah's Witness. He was similar age to myself. And there is a place in the town where I used to like preaching and doing a graffiti thing. And he went there to a spot. I claimed that spot for myself. And when I saw him, sorry to tell you that, when I saw him preaching the false doctrines, I was so offended myself. And I went there and heckled him. You know what that is, to put him off. And he got annoyed with me. He stopped doing what, and I was happy he was stopped doing his preaching. You know, anyway, long story. Let's get to this rapture. What does it mean? It means to be caught away. Caught away. Where from? From this world. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Lord, please help me to share the word of God so that we may understand in Jesus' name. Let's read the passage again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 says this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them which in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let me point out something to Jan and anyone else who don't quite understand. Here it says, verse 13, concerning them which are asleep. And again, he says it elsewhere, verse 14. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus. Now, what does that mean? They're not gone to bed. And they're not having a kip. They've died. And what that means is, the Bible puts it across like this. That if somebody has died in the Lord, they've fallen asleep in the Lord. Do you understand me? They're dead, but they're asleep in Jesus. Is that, you understand that, right? Easy. Okay. So, I got up very early this morning and I worked on the message, and it was about 9:15 after I finished. So I got up about 6 and I was tired, because when you're doing paperwork or writing essays or homework, you get tired. I had to go back to bed, and I got up at 10 o'clock, and I was late picking up Liam and coming, and so anyway, let's share the word of God. Does anyone know, question, what is the next great prophetic event that shall happen in this world? Pardon? The second coming of Jesus Christ. That is going to happen. Mickey Mouse It's not going to come to this earth from heaven. And nor is Batman, okay, or anyone else that you may have heard about, that you may admire, you may I don't know, who's the bloke that discovered gravity? Anybody know? Isaac Newton. You know, he was a great man in his time, but he's not coming back to this earth from heaven. Only Jesus Christ. And we call this the second coming of the Lord Jesus. There was a man went on holiday to Edinburgh, and he spent the week there and he enjoyed it. And he went to various churches. And when he went back home, someone said to him, "Did you enjoy the preachers in Edinburgh?" He said, "Yes, I did. But they only talk about the first coming of Jesus Christ. None of them talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ." Well, I'm going to tell you this. I went to a church for 6.5 years, and I never heard once about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's going to happen. But when will it happen? No one knows. What day will it happen? The hour? No one knows. Only the Father in heaven. Now, let's get this into perspective. How do we know this to be true? It's in the Bible. But how do we know the Bible to be true? Because it's the Word of God. How do we know the Word of God to be true? How do we know it's inspired by the Holy Spirit? So what we're going to do, and Bob used it because it's written in the Bible. Bob used the word because of prophecy. Is that right? Something like that. So listen carefully. All of us here put our hope and our faith in the Word of God. But why do we do that? Why do we know it's true? Because there are many prophecies that point to the fulfillment that Jesus Christ would come by a virgin, and that he would be born in Bethlehem. There are prophecies in there that say this will happen. And did it happen? Yes. You agree with me. You all know it happened. How long ago did it happen? 2,000 years ago. Very simple mathematics. They said it will happen, and it did happen. Okay, that's the birth of Jesus. There are many prophecies that were fulfilled about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Is that not true? And did it happen? See, so the reason why we believe the word, this Bible, and the Word of God, is that the things that it's written about, the things that it wrote about in the past, which came to happen, which came to fruition, that way, that is why we believe it. That's why we put our trust in it. That's why we put our hope in it. So when the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is going to return, are we going to say, no, don't believe such rubbish? Are we going to say that? Never. Never. And I feel like terrible by saying we don't believe that rubbish. I shouldn't say that. But somebody might say it. Somebody who's a pagan, a heathen, an atheist, they might laugh at us. They might ridicule us. And it actually says, I think it's in Peter, his epistles, that there'll be scoffers in the last days laughing at us, thinking that we're silly because we believe that Jesus is going to return. So, the Bible says in this passage that he is coming back. Isn't that amazing? Yes? And because we believe it to be true, we're looking forward to the day. We're getting ready, aren't we? That's what we like to think. Well, there we go. Left behind. As we go through here, we're going to discover the meaning behind those words. We don't want to be left behind.
We like to walk with him.
Yeah, exactly. We want to be there. We know it's true. We know the prophecies are true. We know they come to pass. So we want to get ourselves ready. We genuinely are happy to put our trust and our hope in everything that the scriptures point to. Is that not true? Okay. So the next great prophetic event is the return of Jesus Christ. What will happen when he returns? Well, it says here, what will happen when he returns? Verse 13, the dead in Christ. Well, it doesn't say it in that verse, but I'll read it. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, I'm going to go to the cemetery on Thursday, and you're welcome to come. Can you imagine if you're not included in this great day, on this rapture, when you will be caught away, if you believe, if you believe, you could go to the cemetery. There could be 1,000 graves there, like Woodwell's or the other one, Cemetery Hill. And you could go up there on the day of the rapture and you could watch. And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Every grave that has a believer buried in it, the bones of that believer, the ashes, they're going to rise from the dead. That's what that says. They will. Yes. No, you're right, Bob. No, not today. You'll be waiting all day. You'll get tired. You'll be going to say, what's that bloke talking about? On the day of the rapture, I mean, you're going to know about it, but what I'm telling you, those graves where there's a believer, look, I'll put it in plain speech. If David had died in the next couple of years and the rapture is in 5 years' time, we could go up to David's grave. Well, we want to be raptured ourselves, but his bones, he will come up out of the grave a new David Peel's. Isn't that right, David? You're looking forward to it, aren't you? Me too, David. I'm afraid of it in case it hurts. Living believers will be caught away. And I mean, let's thank God. Let's thank God that even when it seems like there's no hope and that we're buried in the ground 6 foot under, that God's still got the power to say, Bob Minia, come up! You know, sorry, Bob, I know you're older in years.
I'm in the middle of the night, somebody shouted out, Bob, get up. No, I don't know where that came from.
What, was that recently?
Yeah, about 10 days ago.
Really?
Yeah, I got up, oh, it was too early. It was loud.
Really? You sound like Samuel. When Samuel was a little boy, living with Eli, And the Lord called him three times. And he thought it was Eli, the priest, was calling him. And he said, "What do you want, Eli?" He said, "Well, I didn't call you. Maybe the Lord was calling you to prayer, Bob." You went up to the allotment.
I have been called on the allotment.
Nobody there. Okay.
So I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Shall I tell you a story? Shall I tell you a story? I'll tell you a story, everyone. So I went to a Bible school, right? I'll put this on hold. I went to a Bible school in 1989. Okay. Pentecostal. Okay. In Harpenden. It was at a school. Dominic went to the school called the King's School. They called it King's Bible School. So I was in a large room with nine people. Not as big as this room, but my bed was right next to the door. Okay. So while I was asleep in bed, somebody wanted to go to the toilet. But I did not know that because I was asleep. And this person had a white dressing gown, right? And what they did, they went out of the room, and the room had a door closure. So when you let go, it closes very slowly. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, they came back from the toilet. And they came in, and as they opened the door, where there was a door closed slowly, the draught used to brush across me. It woke me up. But I was still half asleep in a daze. And all I remember, when I opened my eyes, I saw this white figure. And there was a full moon that night. And the light from the full moon shone around this person. It's a true story. This is a true story. And that put, they came in the room. And all I saw was this white figure with glowing, right? Like the light, you understand, because of the full moon, Bob. Well, they went back to their bed. I didn't know. It was Matt Woodhouse. That's who it was. Well, I tried to sleep again. And I thought, do you know what? I've just seen the Lord Jesus. I thought, I've just seen the Lord. How can I sleep? And this was like 5 minutes after they'd gone back to bed, fallen asleep. In my mind, I was captivated, thinking, I've seen Jesus Christ come back to... He's even stood at my bedside. Well, I got up. I couldn't sleep after that. And I was praising the Lord. I was praising the Lord. I looked out the window and it was pitch black. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went out in the field, I was praising the Lord because I felt I was honoured that the Lord came to visit me. About a week later, I told everybody that the Lord appeared to me in the evening. And they were all envious of me. And then one day I was talking to Matt at his bedside and I saw the white dressing gown. And then the penny dropped. It was him had gone to the toilet. Sorry, I've got a rush now. Okay, so here's a question. I've got three questions to consider some of these facts, right? How shall we live in the light of the countdown? You know, we hear of these rockets from NASA. They send up a rocket and then they get the astronauts are in the rocket and then they say 10, 9, 8, 7, etc. And on number one, the rocket blasts off into orbit.
Yeah, countdown.
Countdown.
If there's any fault, they've got a chance to do something before they set it off.
I didn't know that, Bob. So if there's any faults, they've got a chance to sort it out very quickly. Very got to work quick. But why I said this, if Jesus is returning soon, at some point, we are now under a countdown. I'm under a countdown till the rest of the sermon is over. So I've got 25 minutes, right? And I'm just on my first heading. So every day, that passes. Every day, when this day is over, we will be one step closer to the return of Jesus coming. Every week that passes by, we will be 1 week closer. Every month, every year. Now, when Jesus spoke, he said that, or Peter on the day of Pentecost said that in the last days the Lord will pour out his spirit on all flesh. That was 2,000 years ago that he used the phrase the last days. How much nearer are we to the end compared to 2,000 years ago? We're right. If this is the history of the world, and that is the beginning, and this is the end, we are in the last hours, aren't we? You agree with me, Nika? David? We're going to get there. We're in the last hours of human history. We're in the last hours of the time of this planet Earth. We don't have time to play games. We have no time to dilly-dally. You understand? The hour draweth nigh, the prophets would say. The prophetic clock, I'm serious, the prophetic clock is set in motion and it does not stop. When God has ordained something to happen, it's going to happen. And time is ticking away, and so therefore there is an urgency to get ready. Would you agree with me, some of you? There is a countdown. And a countdown of life, and it keeps reminding us, I have to say, that there is a shortness to life. Dear Liam's mum, we buried her this year. Yeah. She was cremated, and she was only 60 years old. 2 years ago, dear Jeff, our old friend Jeff, he died in 2020. When the COVID pandemic was out. Jeff died in December. I think it was near your birthday. And he's gone. So we had two people that used to come to this hall. Karen used to sit over there with her little book. Jeff used to like sitting around here, wheelchair. They're absent. If I call out the registration and call out their names, they're not going to say, yes, sir. They're not here. Because they've gone to glory. The Lord has called them. They have fallen asleep in Jesus. You understand? You see? So the countdown to Christ's return is made evident by signs. There are signs taking place. Come in, Janet. Sit down. There are signs that are going on around us. And if we got eyes to see, we would understand that the word of the Lord is coming to pass. And Nika pointed out something. We're going to see more evidence of prophetic language that Jesus spoke. If we turn to Matthew 24... Matthew 24, and there's a question. And if you were with the Lord Jesus, you might have asked the same question. And it says here, look, I'll go from verse 1. 24, Matthew. And Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now Jesus is explaining to the disciples in Jerusalem that what they saw that particular day, things were going to change. The temple will be torn down because there will be an invasion. At some point, which happened in AD 70, right? The Romans came, annihilated the city. Anyway, listen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, listen, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us what these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. They're asking a question, aren't they? They came to him. They knew that he knew all things. They said, look, tell us the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And it says here in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. People will try to deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you should, now listen, verse 6. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Stop there. Now, you know, it's been over a year that the Russians have invaded Ukraine. Now, we hear certain news, and I hear it every day. And some people might say one story, some people might say another story. But I have to say, in the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, how many wars can you tell me that have happened?
Too many.
Too many. That's all we need to hear. Too many. I mean, we could get particular and go through all of them. And one page of A4 wouldn't be enough to write down all the wars that have happened in the last 50 years. We've had two world wars in the last 100 years. You know, it goes on and on and on. Are we to get scared about it? No. He said, don't be afraid. These things will happen. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom, he said. Do we see these things happening? You see, in the disciples' day, in the Lord's day, they probably might have heard of a war. They could have said, well, there was a time when the Babylonian Empire controlled the world. And then they might have said, there was a time when the Persian and the Medes controlled the world after the Babylonians. And they might have known certain things. But they wouldn't have heard of the amount of wars that we're experiencing. So the conclusion to the point is, all of us can say what Jesus said would happen has happened. Is that not true? Nika brought it up because it's on her mind. How about this one? If we go back to verse 7, and it says, the second half of verse 7 says, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, is this something that we can all say, yes, that's happening now? It is, isn't it? So we can all put our trust in the word of God. And these are two signs that we could say, yeah, the Lord was spot on when he said these things. We could go into more detail, but I don't have the time. But later on, if I go to verse 37, the Lord Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When I was a young believer, there was a video about the Bible, and we used to play it. You know what a video is, don't you? A video. They used to play them in the last century. A video. Yeah. You still got them? Yeah, you're a dinosaur, Bob, you are. a video recorder and video players. Remember video cassette? Yeah, well, this was before DVDs, before, what do you have at home? You have networks, Netflix, and I can't remember, Virgin Media and all of this, whatever. Times change and change. But anyway, I remember what a video player was and a video cassette. And we had a Bible film. And this old film, this cassette, there were these people. And they went, it was going into Noah's time. And this was in the, I'm going back to 1990. We used to watch this video. And these people all like had tattoos all over them. Right? They looked real weirdos. In 1989, 1990, you could say, "God, they look a bit freaky." The trouble is, you didn't see many people dressed like that in those days when I saw this video. But now, 35 years later, I went to Battersea Park to watch my in a marathon, half marathon. There's these people in their marathon shorts. They're covered in tattoos all over. And what I saw on that video 35 years ago, there's many people, they look just like the people in the days of Noah. What you see on the telly, I'm embarrassed to watch the telly. When I saw the King's Coronation, some of it, the disco, was it on a Monday, mate? There was a singer. Oh, she was singing Kelly, I don't know. Katy Perry. But the dress she had on, I was struggling to watch her because it was so revealing. And even the Eurovision Song Contest, Alicia Dixon, I mean, she didn't even have a dress on. It was an undergarment. It really was. And I was embarrassed to look at it. But what I'm trying to say, women didn't dress like that 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. But now you do what you want. Paul, what were you going to say? Thank you, Paul. Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, well, I can't even, I'm so embarrassed to watch it because it's polluting my brain. I don't know, I need brainwashing with the Holy Spirit because I need my brain to be clean before the Lord. I'm sure you agree with me. Anyway, the thing is, where am I? Let's move on. Let's go to the next point. Times are bad and they're going to get worse. You know, it's not easy. Let's get on. How shall we live in the light of the catching away or being caught up with the Lord? Well, it says here, verse 17, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. What does that mean? Well, when Jesus comes, and he will come as a thief in the night, but when he comes and the dead in Christ shall rise first, if we're alive, like we are today, are you all alive today? There's three people alive. I heard three people. Someone call an ambulance, everyone's dying. He's alive. Nika's alive. Mayette's alive. I heard an amen. If we're alive when Jesus returns, in the twinkling of an eye, we're just going to be caught up. We're going to rise to the clouds and meet the Lord. Do you believe me? Do you believe the Bible? We will rise. It says here, we which are alive and remain, that is alive, you know, like now, shall be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. That will happen. The one who died and rose again will come again. Believers that are alive, and this is a mind-boggling thing, and you'll say, oh, it's hard to get my head around that, John. We shall escape death. And I like that idea. I won't have to die. I won't have to be buried. You won't have to come to my funeral. I'll be quite happy. No one will have to pay for the wake and the funeral. We'll save £5,000. I'm looking forward to it today. Let's face the facts. Death has had its way throughout the years. We've known people, as I said, I mentioned Karen and Jeff, and there are loved ones in your life that you've known. And Bob told me some time ago, that Bob has outlived all of his peers. You told me that a couple of years ago. All of us have stood at the side of a grave for loved ones, people we love, our mums, our dads, our family. You know, death has robbed us of people we love. But I'm telling you, it says in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Why? Why? Shall I tell you? A better day is coming. When Jesus returns, death will be no more. It will. He said, do you remember a thing called death? I think so. Yeah, it used to kill people, didn't it? Or something like that. It will be an old hat thing. We will remember it no more. What a wonderful thing the Christian faith is. That it wants to show you we've got a future. We've got a hope. We're not of those that have no hope. We have a heart, and we are called New Hope Christian Church because we have a hope. Our plans then ought to transcend the way we live on earth now. Shouldn't it? This is important. What I'm saying is going to happen. Therefore, let's try with all our might not to get caught up with things that have got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Paul said, when I was among you, talking to the Corinthian church, I desired to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anything else ain't worth talking about, is it? It's true. He deserves our every breath. He deserves our every thought. The trouble is we love the things of this world. We love, oh, look, I've got a nice new car. Look. Oh, let me polish it. If we went round Hemel Hempstead today, if we went round every house, in every street, in every part of the town, there'd be people with a brand new electric car. Oh, let me polish it up. Let me give it a nice little clean. Oh, excuse me. Don't you know it's the Lord's Day? Yeah, you want to come to church? No, I've got to check my tyre pressure on my brand new car. People are playing with things that are going to perish. They're gonna perish away. They're too busy caught up with things that have got nothing to do with this future prophetic event that's gonna happen. And it could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week. I'm going on holiday for a week. It might happen where we're on the Isle of Wight, Bob, and I might never come back. I'm telling you, put your hope in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, because Nika used a phrase earlier on. She said, we don't want to be left behind. What if you're left behind? What if you don't get caught up in the clouds with the Lord? What if that's you? Well, don't come and phone me up on my mobile and say, John, why didn't you tell me about this? I'm stuck down here with all these unbelievers. And it's getting bad, because it will get bad. It will be bad. I don't want to be here. I want to be on the winning side. 1 John 2:28 shows us that we ought to live every day with Christ coming in mind. That's how we ought to live every day. That he could come at any time. And check this out. Lastly, that how shall we then live in the light of coming judgment, because when this event happens, when the rapture happens, straight away there'll be a judgment, and there'll be a judgment of believers. How should we deal with this? Well, if you was an alcoholic and you was a drunkard and you said, yeah, I'm a Christian, this will sober you up straight away, wouldn't it? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Just as you are here today, sitting down, we're going to go to be with the Lord, and he's going to be on a throne, I think, something like that, and he's going to judge us all. You all believers, he's going to be looking at you, Bob, and he's going to be looking over the last 15 years and say, Bob Minier, let's have a look at what you've been up to, what you've done for me in the last 15 years. Well, it's a sobering thing. Not just Bob, I'm picking on Bob. What about you, David? He'll be checking you out. And Paul. And Mick. In fact, all of us. Well, he's going to say, you went to Grove Hill Community Centre, heard a sermon every week. What did you do about what you heard? Did you take it to heart? Or did you go and party the night away and do things you shouldn't do? Do you understand me? We're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. And Christians, it says it in Romans chapter 14, it says that Christians will have to give an account of their life since they've been born again. Now, if you interrogated me, if you pushed a finger at me, I would honestly say, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed about certain things I've done. I am. What do I do about that? Just go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Because I can't set everything that I've done in the past and say, I'm sorry I abused that person. I'm sorry I made that lady cry. I'm sorry I didn't give back that thing I borrowed off that person. You understand me? He's going to scrutinize everything. The best thing to do is just go before him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Yeah? Because I've got no righteousness of my own. If you wanted to talk to me and say, John, tell me everything you've done since you've been a believer, I'll start crying. Because I've done some bad things. And you might say, well, what are you doing preaching at us for? Well, it's by the grace of God. It really is only God's grace and God's mercy that I'm able to stand here today. Because I've got no righteousness of my own. None of us, anyone here, righteous, self-righteous person here? Can anyone say, yeah, I've got it together? Thank you, Nika. Hallelujah. That is it. Our righteousness is only what Jesus Christ has done for us. He paid the price for our mistakes. And if we will humbly say, Lord, I let you down, I let the church down, I let my brother down, I let everyone down, please forgive me for my stupid past. He'll say, he'll forgive us. He will forgive you. It's a humble heart he is interested in. You know, not hard, careless hearts. He wants to sober us up because, I mean, look at this. Jethro, the last couple of weeks, I've seen him out there with his computer doing his own work. Have you noticed? He wants to get it right. He wants to do his essays. He wants to put the right things in the right place. Is that not right? Because you want to pass, right? Have you got any final exams? Yes. Do you tremble?
Sometimes.
Right, you've got faith in God, and that stops you trembling. There we go. Let's have faith in God, because all of us are going to go through an exam. All of us, not just Jethro at school, we're going to be examined by God Almighty. We're going to go through an examination day. It's ahead for all of us. How should we then live? We don't... Jethro, do you like failing exams? Jezreel, you don't want to fail an exam, do you? You don't hear of a school kid going to school, I'm going to fail an exam today, hallelujah. This doesn't happen, does it? We don't want to be failures on that day when we meet the Lord, when we go to the great judgment of Jesus Christ. I don't. Praise God. There'll be rewards. You've had an award, haven't you? Maybe you've been the star pupil of the whole term. Yes? We like to think that the Lord will give out prizes. He says it in the scriptures that he'll give prizes. He's even going to give us a crown. So he wants to reward every one of us for the wonderful things that he sees in us when he comes. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what he will do. Don't put your hope in things on this earth. Because Peter says that everything that you see around you, everything that, and it is pretty. I was pointing out to Liam earlier on, a lovely tree full of blossom on the way here this morning. But everything we see is going to be burnt up. It's going to be disintegrated. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hope in him. And things, you will be ready for that day. We'll pass the examination test. We'll come. The Lord will be happy with us. But I have to interrogate you. I have to cross-examine you. I have to ask you these questions. Because I want to make sure that you're going to be okay on that day. Is that all right? So I'm going to ask you this question. And it's a serious question. How will our Lord judge you, all of us, on that day? If he came this afternoon, how will he judge you? Will he say, Lord, I haven't got my house in order yet. Don't come yet. Just don't come yet, Lord, because my life is reckless. It's terrible. So I'm not, you know, how will you live this week, this month? Why don't you just say, Lord, I'll tell you what, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I best serve you and please you? He might wake you up in the middle of the night and say, Bob, I've got things for you to do. I know you're 89 years of age, but I've got a lot for you to do. You don't know unless you ask him. Can you do that? Does your future hold rewards from Jesus, or does it hold regret? Well, the good news is there's still time. We're still alive. He hasn't come today yet. But you can still pray and say, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? I'm here to serve you, to do whatever I can. I mean, bless Marjorie, look at her. Her and Bob come here early. And you know what? I got here late today, but I just got here when Bob came. Marjorie came in, she started setting the chairs out. She's serving this church. How old are you, Marjorie? 84? She's setting the church chairs out. She's serving Jesus Christ by doing one small thing. And you don't know that. You come in here and you sit down and think, oh, this is nice and comfortable. Marjorie put the chairs out. She's serving the Lord. Just one little thing. What can we do? Listen, you can lay up rewards in heaven. That's what the Bible says. You know, let's strive. Let's work together and put rewards in heaven. That when you get there, there's something there for you. Yes? You know what I'm talking about. Don't delay. He's coming back soon. Let's get things in order so that we might be a blessing and we can be caught away with him with no regrets. Lord, we come before you and we do thank you for this encouraging thought that you're coming soon. And that we, Lord, we're still alive, we've still got time on our hands, and we can still get our house in order. We can still prepare ourselves for your return. And I do pray for every one of us that we will take these words seriously in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's join Mayette in our last hymn.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.